Robinhood Radio presents Do the Right Thing
with Karen Grigsby Bates, Los Angeles-based correspondent for NPR News. Karen also was a news reporter for People magazine, a contributing columnist on the op-ed pages for the Los Angeles Times for 10 years. Karen's work has also appeared in Time, The New York Times, The Washington Post, Essence, and Vogue.
Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right.
It's Karen Grigsby Bates, Do the Right Thing. Hi, Karen.
Hey, Jill.
So.
Yeah, it's that time of year again when the parties are starting up and all the holiday luncheons and people start, you know, who are in workplaces start baking things or buying things and bringing them in and putting them on the communal table. And there's a lot of pressure to eat and drink things that some people may not want to, for whatever the reason. You know, maybe they're just fussy eaters and they're not really into the Sichuan brownie chupe. Or maybe they, have started and done pretty well with a personally composed diet that says, just stay away from sweets and alcohol and, you know, let's see what happens. Or maybe they can't drink. Maybe they're recovering. Or maybe they have an illness that has meds that's incompatible with alcohol, whatever. But it's a season where a lot of that is around, always. And there's always at least one person who's like, ah, come on, don't be a killjoy. Everybody's doing it. Stop that.
Yeah, and, you know, it's really interesting because there are people who spend their entire years, and I often wish that they would find something else to do, but they spend their entire time sort of observing what the other person's doing instead of just, it's like, just leave. There are times when you should let it go, and there are times when you don't. And what you want is a judicious balance. And during the holidays, there's nothing more buzzkillish than hanging out with some people who are sitting there going, oh, you know, should you be eating that? Oh, are you? Because most of the time, if people are eating things that they shouldn't be eating, they know it, and they're doing it anyway.
And they're just doing it because they, you know, it's like, okay,
I
decided to break my own, you know, decision not to do or to only eat or whatever. And because it's going to be a few weeks where people are, all this stuff is around, and I don't want to stress myself out by, you know, having to explain or being tempted by or whatever. I just want to eat what I want to eat. So that's okay, then do that too. You know, and they don't need the opposite of it. You know, the person who stands there and says, now, that's 38 points. That's enough points for, like, the next 2 days. Or, that has 5,000 grams of sodium in it. Or, do you know how much butter goes into those things? Like, yeah, they do. Leave them alone.
Yeah, and the other, and speaking of the other side, this is one of those, this is like a, is that quite a, yeah, it's almost like a Rubik's Cube, because the other side is like, if you bake something, let's just say, I can say me, if I bake Toll House cookies, I don't use I follow the recipe.
Right.
So someone standing there holding it, looking as though it was poisoned.
Bird.
Right.
Yeah. Curd instead of chocolate chip.
Does this have sugar in it? It's like, yeah, it's a cookie.
Yeah.
So
yeah. These aren't special cookies. They're special cookies because I made them, but they're not specially constructed cookies. So, yes, they have all the things you would expect cookies to have in them.
And that other side, in my view, only my view, could be relaxed a little bit, too. I mean, people have really, just say, specialized in their what they can and cannot eat. And, by the way, there are people who legitimately have done a lot of work and know that, for example, if they eat, making this up, banana bread, their stomach, it's not gluten per se, but it's like, okay, it's heavier. So if you're dealing with someone who knows their stuff and knows their body and they say, oh God, I'd love to, but, you know, banana bread, the two of us just don't get along, then
leave them alone. It's fine.
Right. Yeah. It's not personal.
Well,
and by the same token,
yeah, exactly. Don't take it as a personal insult that they're not going to partake of the lovely thing that you brought in to share with your coworkers. It's like, they can't. You'll have to wipe up after them to be really disgustingly graphic. So just let them have a cup of coffee and smile and enjoy watching you guys have it.
So since people say no so well, not, what sort of tips, I mean, give us a little clinic, if you would, in doing the right thing when you know, on all sides, meaning no thank you or, hey, you know, that looks beautiful, I can't eat it, but boy, you know, and how do you not torture people on, you know, on the other end? Oh, I feel so bad because I worked so hard. You know what I mean?
Well, so you're a wonderful baker. You've baked your grandmother's famous bundt cake recipe, and you bring it to work and leave it on the table. And I would say also, if you're if you've got things in it that you think, I usually leave a note to say, you know, please help yourself. Know that this has nuts in it for people who are allergic. You know, nuts are like a big deal. They could kill you for some people. And so, you know, then they know and then they can go and eat it. But I wouldn't hover over it and make people take slices of it because you work so hard over it or because Christmas is only once a year and everybody should love fruitcake and you should taste mine because it's different from all other fruitcakes in the world. It's fruitcake, come on. Or, you know, any of that. It's like, bake it or don't, you know, cook it, whatever. Leave it, leave a note and let people help themselves and let them not help themselves. You know, you don't know what kinds of medical conditions people have. Maybe somebody's got, you know, something that's aggravated by tomato sauce and so your world famous lasagna is not going to go down well, literally, for them. So don't shame them into taking just a little teeny bite. I just want you to have a bite. Can't eat it? Fine. You know, sorry you're missing it is great. If you're the person who's facing that big pan of lasagna, and whether you love or loathe the idea of diving in, it's just easy to say, yeah, I have never gotten along with tomato sauce. It looks luscious. Bon appetit, everybody. You know, we don't need chapter and verse on your illness. We don't need to know what you're taking to combat it. We don't need to know that you've always hated tomato sauce since you were three and, you know, had the flu and barfed it all over Aunt Andrea's, you know, dining room chairs. We don't need to know any of that history. We just need to know that you can't eat it or won't eat it and that you're looking forward to seeing everybody else enjoy it.
And, you know, I don't know quite how we got to the fact where everyone gives you chapter and verse on either side, but
yeah,
that's
so it's like they have to justify
right.
Not taking a bite. No, you don't. Just say, you know
no,
what,
no,
I can't do
you.
It, but you guys should. It looks beautiful.
Enjoy.
You guys should really
it's gorgeous.
Enjoy it.
What a good job you did. Or
yeah,
you know it.
That must have taken hours to put together. It's gorgeous. You know, so you compliment the cook and leave your plate for somebody else to take.
Right.
And that's fine.
And is there a way? What we need is sort of an automatic. Hey, just stop yourself, right? There needs to be an automatic implant or a little buzzer that comes out that says you don't have to explain. You just say no, thank you, or yes, please.
Yeah,
or,
just take a deep breath. It's like, oh, beautiful. I'm going to pass.
Yeah. And
I work with a guy who's very definite about his taste, and we sort of laugh about it because we know, because he'll look at something and goes, that's spicy, I don't need spicy. Like, okay, you know, you get a pass, don't worry about
right.
it.
Right.
That it's, you can explain or not explain, but I think you shouldn't over-explain. That gets into the realm of, boy, this is way more information than I ever wanted to know about how tomato sauce affects your bathroom experience.
Right.
I don't want to know.
But it's the Uber. There was an old line: never, never complain, never explain. But it's the Uber explanation that sort of ends up hijacking the entire event. And that's the part that I'm wondering. Like, hey, people, there's still time to stop yourselves, and especially during this time of year, because it's, you know, everybody's either bringing stuff in or trying to do nice. You're always going to be. Let me rephrase. You've got a real good chance of being in a situation that doesn't necessarily track with your regular habits.
Yeah,
so,
or where you're just facing something you know you don't want to eat. I'm all for not eating it then, you know, and leaving more for somebody else who does love it and wants a second helping. And I think the same goes for alcohol. You know, people who don't drink shouldn't be faced with a battery of, "Oh, you don't drink? Really? Such a bummer. How come?" It's like, maybe it's none of your business. How come? Maybe they are recovering and they don't want to talk about it. Or maybe they don't drink because they had alcoholic parents and they're worried about inheriting that proclivity. Or maybe they don't drink because they're really, really conscientious about not just drinking and driving, but drinking and making their way home on public transportation. You know, it'd be a good thing to be stone sober when you get on the subway these days in case it bursts into flames, stops between stops, you know, any of that. So people have lots of legitimate reasons for not drinking. And even if they got illegitimate reasons for not drinking, whatever those are, they're theirs, you know, so they don't do it. Leave them alone.
So quick side to that. You know, certain chocolate mousse, people dash, you know, certain
pies, put alcohol in
yeah, it gets spiked. Is there something that, I mean, do you just say, "Hey, I spiked my chocolate pie. There's some rum in the chocolate pie," or do you just leave it
I
out?
I would do it. I don't know if everybody does. Like, at Thanksgiving, I usually make a chocolate pecan pie that has a couple of splashes of bourbon in it.
Right,
and
because it goes.
In the cooking, most of the alcohol comes out. But what if it doesn't? But I always say to people, it's a chocolate pecan bourbon pie. You know, and if they're saying bourbon, can't do that, that lets them know.
Right. And
you know, then they know to go on to the sweet potato pie or the custard pie.
Okay.
So it's leaving the consumer with as much knowledge as you can, not where the organic eggs came from or that you cheated this time and used a grocery store pre-made crust or anything. It's like,
stop.
Here's the deal. It's pie with whiskey in it.
Right. So that's the, okay.
Know?
So just when you name it, even if there's only a little bit, you know, hey, this is my, exactly.
Yeah.
My bourbon.
I don't
think
you have to go full FDA disclosure with your treat.
With your ingredients.
There are things that are known irritants or allergens for a significant number of people. You need to be upfront with that, so they don't unwittingly take a bout of your,
insurance.
Fish pate and realize afterwards, oh my God, there's shellfish in this, isn't there? My throat's closing up. You don't want that. Those are the wrong kind of lights to have at your party.
Thank you very much, Karen Grigsby Bates. Do the Right Thing.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to Do the Right Thing with Karen Grigsby Bates, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio.
Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and stay right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow.
On the web, robinhoodradio.com.
Fly right.